Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody. It is Thursday night, March 28th, 2024. You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the ChairShot Radio Network. You can find us on thechairshot.com, where we remind you and encourage you to always use your head. Man, the end of March, we are creeping inch and closer to WrestleMania. As of the day that this drops, we are officially 1 week, 7 days away from night one of WrestleMania, and we are really going to start ramping up a lot of the WrestleMania talk in the next week or two, between this week and next. But first, let me go around the room and introduce this cast of characters we have on this show. First, from the Rob the Genius podcast, the Minister of Truth, the Father of Facts and Figures, the Deacon of Data, the official Shoot Bear of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, and the Man with the Golden Shovel, Mr. Rob. How are you tonight, sir?
Not too bad. Can't complain.
All right. And the Mindless Wrestling Podcast resident high flyer, hailing from the Purple Haze in Cloud 9, Bucky's tag team partner, a man destined to go through a barbershop window, Jason, sir, how's your week?
Oh, it's wonderful. Happy to be here, gentlemen.
Oh, always. Always a pleasure with you guys. And as always, I am the man with the award-winning and holy beard, DJ. We got a lot to unpack this week as we inch closer, as I said, to WrestleMania. We had a huge Raw this week. We're going to talk about that. We're going to pick apart some very, very key elements of that show. A lot of people saying it was the best Raw in years. I think that's a bit of hyperbole, but it was an awesome show. I'll lead it off there. Then we're going to talk about this new concept that WWE is throwing out there, the idea of three-minute matches. It's a little thing that they're going to do on Twitter called Speed. We're going to talk about that on the second half of the show. I think we've all got some thoughts on that. But first, just kicking it around the room here, Jason. Monday Night Raw, what'd you think, man?
I think that finally Cody Rhodes got what was coming to him. And I think it was a glorious end to the show. And Triple H, I don't know what blood ritual or whatever you did to make it rain for that. Because yes, that made the atmosphere just absolutely perfect, and it was the best kind of rain. It wasn't the downpour, we can't do shit in this rain. It wasn't just misting and getting in your face. No, it was like the end of a cops and robbers movie shootout rain.
It was the end of Lethal Weapon 3 is essentially what we got.
Right, exactly.
What was it, Cody 4? Rhodes, Which Lethal Weapon was it with Jet Li?
That was four.
Okay, I forget those. So, yeah, the one with Jet Li where he's beating the shit out of the two of them in the rain.
He beat the dog shit out of him.
And The Rock beat the dog shit out of Cody Rhodes. So, yeah, all in all, it was an awesome show.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit more in depth about that segment and a few other segments from that show. But first, Rob, overall, the show, what'd you think, man?
Oh, look, that was, I said Monday, that was the most excited I've been at the end of an episode of Monday Night Raw in a really long time. And I'd say probably the last time I was that excited at the end of an episode of Raw might have been when Big E won the world title, I think. Just pure excitement, like, you know, just charged up and couldn't go to sleep because I was that charged up afterwards.
So, yeah.
That was just, man, that was, I mean, that was something else, man. It was, you know, and the beginning, right? Cause, you know, Cody's doing the promo and come on, they didn't announce The Rock and that was perfect. Like just because, well, they always want to, you know, they want to announce him because when they announce him, they get a bigger rating because people know he's going to be there and they're tuning in to see him. And right. So by not announcing him, you lose that. But when he came out there at the beginning and nobody expected it. And then.
Man, what about that entrance?
The Black Adam fucking entrance with the lightning bolts coming out. God! I mean, that is, man, that was like the best shit ever, man. Okay. I mean, that really felt like some, you know, some super villain kind of shit, right? And then he walks out there and he doesn't say anything, right? And then, or he whispers to Cody, he doesn't get on a mic. So then some people were saying that night, like, oh, well, he's telling Cody that I got you, right? And then we find out later on that that is not the case.
No, if you read his lips, he foreshadowed the end of the show at the beginning. If you go back and read his lips.
Most of the folks I thought he said, I'm going to make you bleed.
Oh, sorry.
And that's exactly what he told him.
Okay. So yeah. I'm not.
So most, I had heard that during hour one and then I went and I was like, oh yeah, it looks like once I saw someone say that, I looked at him, you know, I'm not a lip reader, but I can do that. And yeah. And lo and behold, you know, a couple hours later.
And I mean, he beat him down good. I mean, like, I haven't seen it wasn't one of those, you know, cause most of the time on, you know, the wrestling beatdowns, they're kind of contrived, you know, it's, you know, four people stomp somebody out and they're laying there and then they roll the credits or whatever and they're standing over them. Right. And, you know, I mean, and that's kind of, you know, or they have one of those kind of contrived fights where they both get some stuff in and then they roll around and then some people come in and pull them apart or whatever.
Break it up and.
Yeah. And then they go to commercial. Right. Like this, I mean, he beat the dog shit out of him. Right. And then, you know, and then had him bleeding. I mean, look, Cody went full Dusty Monday night.
Okay? Oh, it was brilliant, man.
That's how Dusty is going to get kicked, okay?
Dusty's probably going to be, when all said and done with this run, with the story, Dusty might be more proud of that moment than when he wins the title.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, So when you do a sympathetic babyface, because we have a true sympathetic babyface or a true underdog babyface, okay, you get the shit kicked out of you a lot.
Yeah.
And we don't get enough of that now in modern day. Now we get people call themselves underdog, but then everything's 50-50. Right. But I'm an underdog because I said I'm the underdog. Right. And I mean, no, you're supposed to get dog shit beaten out of you. Okay. If you're the underdog or if you're the sympathetic baby face, you get sympathy by getting shit kicked out of you. Okay. That's how it's supposed to go. And he got the shit kicked out of him. And look, props to Cody. He didn't, you know, he didn't go out there. He said, I gotta get my stuff in here, you know, and there wasn't any of that. He went out there. He took a beating. And he bled real good. And then again, and having it happen in the rain, that was just like, I mean, that just, yeah, I mean,
just
that was
just chef's added, kiss, man.
Yes. Yes. And I mean, that's like added movie effect almost.
And since we're, you know, we're just going to jump right in and talk about that segment first, the opening of the show again, how good was Cody in that though? Because he's out there, he's cutting the usual Cody promo. He got a few little digs in. Cue the Rock's music. The entrance with the Rock was incredible. But then Rocky just kind of coming in, and the two of them face to face. And then when Rocky leans in and says what he says, the look on Cody's face is like, it was just perfect. Like the whole moment in time was perfect in the first 5 minutes of the show. And we got the heat from the crowd who wanted the Rock to come out and do the shtick. They didn't get the shtick, which was even just another genius master stroke on their part. Knowing, you know, what's coming in the last 10, 15 minutes of the show, you know, you got more juice out of him not saying anything than you would have if he'd gone out there and gone, you know, word for word with Cody Rhodes. I think a lot of people didn't, they appreciate it now when you see what we got, but the people that were booing it, because I know, you know, there were a couple of guys that I follow when they did the segment, I was kind of on Twitter and they were posting live updates and they're like, well, that was anticlimactic. Well, and then it wasn't, you know, so it's one of those things. Again, you got to watch the show. You got to watch the whole show and you got to pay attention. So, but yeah, just the Cody was excellent in this role because again, like Rob was saying, you got to take the beat down sometimes, man. You don't always have to get your shit in. And this was one of those times where you've just got to take the beating, take the L, take the beating. And for Rock to leave Cody laying in a pool, just a puddle of blood, rain, and spit was just art. Absolutely art. Like, I would probably gather this is going to rank up there with one of the all-time great segments. It's a little early to tell, but I firmly believe this is probably one of the best segments they've done in a long time.
Oh, yeah. And it looked and felt like a real beating. Like, it looked real.
Well, and that's a point, that's a theme of, like, the whole episode that I'm going to get to a little bit later on, is, and we can talk about this a little bit more, is that these, when I watch a wrestling show, and I watch a, we'll get into it now, fuck it. When I watch a wrestling match, and I see two guys going out there having a good hold-for-hold wrestling match, great. But what are the stakes? Why do these guys hate each other? And I want to feel like there's a reason why these guys hate each other. I felt that between Cody and The Rock. Like, I felt like this took me back to a Ric Flair, Ricky Steamboat feud where they're beating the absolute crap. You know, one of them's getting the crap beat out of it. It feels personal. Like, this feels like there are real stakes on the line other than just the undisputed Universal, you know, Heavyweight Championship. There's something deeper.
What they're fighting for?
According to, you know, what I'm being told, yes. But this feels personal, and it suspends that disbelief that, hey, you know, maybe these guys really don't like each other. And I love that. I love that. And I'll get into more, you know, as we talk more about the episode, there were a couple other instances where they did that, you know, Monday night as well. Jason, you got any more on this?
Yeah.
Roman's sure. Got two more weeks to get out of his sidecar before I walk into WrestleMania confident as all hell. Because, yeah, it's been very, very interesting how, again, continued. You know, Roman didn't come with him. You know, that wasn't a thing. He didn't. So, I think we noted last week how Roman's been a sidecar in this whole experience. Aside from, you know, as necessary to advance the plot, which is very, very interesting.
Yeah, I think that's key. I think people need to pay attention to that.
Right, because people are saying, well, The Rock is overshadowing Roman, and like, well, that's kind of the point.
They've kind of acknowledged that on TV without being doofuses about it, guys, if you've been paying attention.
Yeah, I mean... That's the point. The story that they're telling is that at some point along the way, you know, Roman is gonna say, okay, man, you're doing enough, you're doing too much or whatever, or he's gonna get the point and say, look, I'm the fucking champion here, okay?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, and you know, at some, you know, that it's going to happen at some point, and just depend, you know, so does it happen in the next 2 weeks? Or does it happen later? And if, of course, if that means if it happens later, then Roman would have to, yeah, with me, Roman would be winning. And it's just, it comes to, I mean, so, but that's where it's going to lead to. At some point, you know, it's going to be, okay, man, you're doing too much. Okay, man, I was doing just fine before you got here or something like that, right? Something or other, right? It you know.
And it's got to center around that because Roman was doing all this without The Rock.
Yeah.
You know, so that's got to be a key point in here somewhere.
Yeah. And then, so that's coming. It's just a matter of, is it coming in the next 2 weeks? Or is it coming later?
Well, and I also don't think the scales have fully balanced on what Cody said at the presser when he was saying, you know, he named everyone and said, you're all goons and you don't, you know, Solo and Jay and Jimmy, you're all good. I think he referred to Jay in the former, but you're all goons. And The Rock pointed that out in his promo that, you know, you insulted our whole family. You weren't just sitting out there talking about Roman. You actually said something about my grandfather. You said something about, you know, Solo and Jimmy and, you know, this isn't, and that though, those scales have yet to balance out. We've seen a lot of things stacking up in Cody's favor, you know, with his new pal Seth Rollins, et cetera, et cetera. And CM Punk seemingly in his corner for the moment, which is, you know, when CM Punk's in your corner, you know you can always trust him.
Oh, absolutely.
So
a very trustworthy individual, I feel like.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, it's going to be very interesting to watch the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. One another segment, you know, we can wrap back around to that if we have any more to say on it. Another segment that I want to pick apart, Becky Lynch and Rhea Ripley, they finally started to ramp up the tension with these two. And, you know, they're like, oh, yeah, by the way, we have this match going on is what it's felt like for the last few weeks. But again, when we talk about personal feel, I liked the interaction between Becky and Rhea and Dom on Monday night because, they were having a normal promo, and then Rhea went for the low blow with the daughter, and Becky just became unhinged. And I know there are certain people on my show who, and he's rolling his eyes right now, who feel the way they feel about the orange-haired lady.
I'm the underdog because I told you I am.
But I defy you to find a woman on that roster.
I've already won everything, and they gave me two championships last year so I could be a Grand Slam champion, but I'm the underdog.
He's terrible. Listen to him. I'm so ashamed right now.
Dude, hang on. I'll back him up in kayfabe. You can't be the underdog ever because everything you've set out to do, you've basically done. So I'm not going to believe you and be like, oh, can Becky Lynch do it? I mean, yeah, probably. I watched the show.
Anyway, my point was.
Dog, because I told you guys, because I'm the underdog, because you guys listen to
it. Like,
you guys believe everything I say.
Can Supergirl lift this trash truck?
Everything I say all the time, even when I'm lying and being a snake.
Wow. I was going to go that far, man. I was just going for the narrative shit.
The shoot bear is shooting now.
Yeah, I was in kayfabe, brother.
I mean, even though, you know, I finally admitted now that I shouldn't have said that stuff 5 years ago. I'm finally admitting it now. Yep. But, you know, okay.
Rob, go read the book. Read the book. I'm sure it'll explain everything.
Oh, I mean, a good friend of mine posted some excerpts. And now, 5 years later, oh, yeah, I was wrong to tweet all that stuff.
Well.
But getting back to the segment. I defy you to find a better promo than Becky Lynch in that moment when she, you know, when Rhea takes the dig at Rue and Becky just becomes unhinged and unloads on her, you know, in that just absolutely fire promo and then just hauls off and slugs Dom. Again, this now feels personal. It feels like there are, you know,
more than just I want to wrestle you because you have the belt. Because sometimes for me, that just doesn't sell a story. Like, okay, yeah, everybody wants to be the champion. That's everyone's story. You know, that's everyone's reason. I want to be the champion. You know, why the fuck did you get into the industry if you don't want to be a champion? You know, so that, so adding more layers.
How dare you? Cody Rhodes has been at this for a long time. How dare you, sir?
I'm sorry. Did I just poo-poo all over the story?
The story? You just took a big old steaming dump all over the story.
I'm sorry. Look, I'm a Cody crybaby too. I bought into it.
Well, there's the added angle of the title is dead. He literally didn't win.
Right. But again, they added more layers by making it personal. You know, Rock taking a dig at Cody and then, or at Dusty, and then Cody taking a dig at, you know, High Chief Peter Maivia and, you know, everybody else, you know, down the bloodline. So now there's a layer to this other than I want the Universal Champion.
Timeout, Celtics. Hold on. We don't get 2 years out of Cody Rhodes if he doesn't cut that promo about his dad. If he's just saying it's the one title I didn't win, it would have been fundamentally different. So yeah, adding the personal touch, it works.
It raises the stakes for me, and that's what they did with Rhea and Becky. What it also does is it now to me personally, this is how I see it, because before that, there is a very in my head when I weigh the scales. Becky Lynch is walking out with Rhea's championship at WrestleMania. Now that we've added this personal layer, this other thing, I now am less confident that Becky's going to win that. And I'm okay with that. You know, I'm probably the biggest Becky Lynch fan on the show, and that's probably an easy thing for me to say. But now I'm less certain that she's actually going to win. Because now you've added that personal layer. Now we've got a reason, you know, can Becky keep it together or is she going to become unhinged, make a mistake and either get herself disqualified or lose the match? And I like that. I like that nuance.
Yeah, it's good stuff. It was a killer promo.
It really was. It was a good promo. It was a good segment. One thing I will say about it that goes back, but again, you can't do this with every segment. The back and forth fighting between the two of them was more like what Rob described at the early part of the show, where they just kind of trade punches back and forth and then they get separated. Unfortunately, because of what was coming at the end of the show, they had to kind of do that with these girls. But still, all in all, it gets me more emotionally invested now than just beyond I'm coming for your championship. I've seen Becky as a champion. I don't necessarily need to see that again. Now I want to see her kick Rhea Ripley's ass because she mentioned the kid. You know, that's what I'm invested in.
I feel like we're both going to leave WrestleMania disappointed, DJ.
We probably are. That's okay, though. I like that. And I said that on the DWI podcast a while back. I like the unpredictability of this year's WrestleMania. Like, I genuinely, there's probably one or two matches where I can look at and say, yeah, this is probably what's going to happen. And I'm pretty good chance I'm right. But of the bigger stuff that we have going in right now, I am so uncertain of it. And I love that. Like, I love being here, sitting here going, I have no friggin' clue what's going to happen. And I'm ready for it. Like, give me whatever you're going to do. And if I like it, I like it. And if I don't, I'll talk about it Wednesday night after or Thursday night after, whenever we end up recording. So. Another segment that I really, really enjoyed and I wanted to talk to you guys about, because we cannot get out of here without talking about R-Truth. The Judgment Day. The tag team match was what it was, but having R-Truth on commentary with The Miz. R-Truth's out there calling spots. He's calling the moves. And he's calling for commercial. And then at the very end, when Judgment Day comes out and they beat everybody down and R-Truth is the only man standing and Judgment Day like surrounds him and he turns around, he's like, go to commercial. And he kept calling Pat McAfee JBL.
R-Truth is a treasure.
I told you guys this
refrain,
in the chat.
A refrain on this podcast. R-Truth is a treasure.
Yes.
if they found a way to give him a one time, even if it was just for a week, run with the World Heavyweight Championship, I would not I want that added to his Hall of Fame resume. Like when they announce R-Truth is going into the Hall of Fame, I want them to be able to say former WWE World Heavyweight Champion R-Truth is going into the WWE Hall of Fame. I want that added to that list of accolades.
Hey man, he could take it off Damian.
And that's what I think I threw that out there. You know, once Damian gets his run, find a way to put it on R-Truth. And for all I know, they may very well be heading in that direction. Because it's obviously, you know,
even if
there's with the six pack challenge for the tag, both sets of tag team championships at WrestleMania, they're still tying R-Truth very closely to the Judgment Day.
Yeah, could be going that way. And honestly, yeah. R-Truth could have it for a week, have it for a month, and then it goes on to the next guy.
It's going to be fun when R-Truth grabs the tag team belts from the ladder. I'm hoping that he grabs one set and doesn't grab the other one.
That's what we're doing.
We're still hoping for them to split up the tag team titles.
God, yeah, we need one of those, one set on Raw, one set on SmackDown, call it
real. R-Truth's going to go up there quicker than we've ever seen anyone take down a title, never mind two, in a ladder match. He's going to go up there, take both titles down, come right back down, go right back over to The Miz and be like, look what I did.
Well, and that's believable.
Horror. Like, as, you know, the ladder is already knocked down and blah, 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 blah.
And Johnny Gargano climbs up to grab the other set of belts.
Exactly.
But that's believable, and it's a long-term storytelling thing, because if you remember, R-Truth don't do ladder matches because he's afraid of heights.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So it's very believable that boy is going to skitter up there as quick as his legs will take him, grab a set of belts, and get right the hell back off that ladder in quick order. Because he's afraid of heights and he doesn't want to be up there. So it's very believable that they could make that a plot point in the story and, you know, why he doesn't grab both sets of belts because he want to get the hell off the ladder because he's got no business being up there. So just a lot of fun, man. It's so funny because I was watching that segment and I'm just roaring and I go in the bedroom to grab something and Tina's like, what are you laughing about out there? I'm like, I'm laughing at R-Truth.
And yeah, man, give it to DIY. That's it. That's the ticket.
Give it to Dia. Let Miz and R-Truth win the Raw Tag Team Championships. Let Johnny and Ciampa go over to SmackDown. I think SmackDown's a good home for them.
Yeah, let DIY shine for a little while.
I'm okay with it, man. I like those guys. I've been a big Ciampa fan for a while. I like Johnny Gargano well enough. I don't dislike the guy. I think he's done some incredible work. And I'd like to see him and Ciampa get a shot, you know, just for a little while, see how they do with it.
And even if they were to get a shot, they would very much, because let's be honest, right now they're playing DIY, but they're playing DIY stripped down to the studs.
Yeah.
If they were given even, you know, 5-10 more minutes a week, they could build that character and build that image quite quickly back into at least what it was in NXT.
Yeah. Well, but again, you've also got to look at the something that we've talked about many times on the show. We're pressed for time. Yeah, there's only so many things they can do in 3 hours, so you don't want to convolute something else by having these guys show like this incredible growth and character development when there's not really anything to do with them right now.
Yeah, and
so keep them at this, you know, stripped to the studs level. Let them have their excellent matches so that they keep people's attention so that when they do show a little character, people go, oh, what's this?
Oh, yeah, did you do the homework I gave you, DJ?
Buddy, I haven't even had a chance. It's like, okay. That's probably not going to be anything I get to until the weekend, to be honest with you.
Okay. Cause, we'll talk about that next week. It's something on the subject of tag team wrestling, and we'll get to that next week. So much, you know, I mean, we just, please split those tag team belts up. I mean, cause like they have like a dozen tag teams there now. And that's not counting like the people who just kind of slept together for the moment. Right. And it would make a large chunk of the show more, just more interesting if people were fighting, if you knew that they actually had a chance to win the something, you know, because for the last 2 years, you know, I mean, the Usos had both belts and then Sami and Kevin had a few months and then now it's Priest and Finn Balor. For the last 2 years, it's basically the belts are on whoever has them as part of the larger story arc or whatever, which means that they're not losing them anytime soon, which means, you know, all your tag teams just kind of circling, and the only thing they're fighting for is the right to lose to whoever has both of the belts at the time.
Yeah.
If you split up both of those belts and you get them on some teams that are not super teams, basically, or just guys that are good but are in a, you know, competitive division or whatever, I think it makes the division more interesting. It makes all of those teams more interesting. Because now you're not just fighting for the right to lose to, you know, the super team who has both the belts right now.
Right. So let's move into one more segment before I want to wrap back to the Rock and Cody finishing out Raw. I want to get into the promo between CM Punk, Drew McIntyre, and eventually Seth Rollins. A lot of people felt the way they felt about it. There were a lot of things said in that promo. I'm going to come right out of the box and say I thought it was awesome. I thought the whole thing, I think it probably could have shaved maybe 2 to 3 minutes off of it, and it wouldn't have lost any, it wouldn't, there'd have been, you'd have taken no pack out of the punch. But the promo in itself, again, I felt like these guys genuinely hated each other. Like there were a lot of really good low digs and, you know, stuff. It was just incredible. Rob, I'm going to start with you. What did you think about the promo?
Oh, I thought it was excellent. And I thought, you know, all three guys did really well. And, you know, that part where, you know, where Drew said I was the chosen one. And then Punk was like, well, yeah, who chose you? Who did?
Oh, my God. That was great.
Tell everybody who it was.
For me, the line of the night, and I said this on Twitter, when Drew looked at Punk and said, you know, the whole straight edge thing, you like, you don't drink, you don't do drugs, but you sure do spend a whole lot of time in rehab.
Oh, that was
like, that was the line of the night for me, man.
Oh, that, yeah. To me, that and the you know, well, you know, tell everybody who chose you, you know.
Can you say his name? I'm like, oh my God.
Oh, don't forget, let's not forget, you know, transgender champion, you know, trans rights, women's rights champion, Cody Rhodes, CM Punk with a, you know, skirt dig at old Drew boy there.
I think people are making more out of that than they should. I mean, I guess I get why people would be in their feelings about it, but I guess I just glossed over it. I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
Well, look, I had my shoot moment. So go ahead, Jason. Go ahead. You have your shoot moment now. Go ahead.
I think he's talking out of both sides of his mouth, and I'll just leave it at that. He's not afraid to be one of the boys, but
at the end of the day, that's exactly what that was locker room talk. You know, one of the boys ribbing somebody else.
But for someone who, oh, I'm a locker room leader and, you know, I wear these t-shirts and I make these speeches and whatnot, can't we not be one of the boys also?
I don't know.
Anyway, just an aside there. Very, very, also very, 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 very ridiculously easy to avoid getting yourself into that, as one of my friends likes to call it, a sticky. So, no points for not even avoiding it. And good for Drew for calling him out for the easy shot. And Drew Mac, I think also on a more serious, well, less serious note actually, is I think Punk is quickly learning that, well, yeah, he's probably still one of the best on the mic, period. A lot of the guys that he thought he was going to be treating as punching bags are not that anymore.
Now, Drew has been incredible on the mic, especially lately. Like, I never thought Drew was bad, and I know Jason's probably the resident Drew hater on this show, except for lately. Now that he's beaten up on Punk, I think Jason's finally coming around on Drew McIntyre.
Well, and it's He's, again, I say this about a lot of guys, that it's an, yes, it's an easy answer. Oh, just turn them heel. But when you have a body of work on both sides of the aisle and one of them is way more fun than the other, then yeah, letting him bring in the real life, you know, I've been screwed, you know, nastiness to it. It's perfect. And the guy, and that was my number one complaint with the old, aw shucks, can he do it, Drew McIntyre? It's like, yeah, this is the Roman Reigns script, man, from 2015. Yeah, man, you can do it. I know you can do it. I'm going to watch you do it again. This is stupid.
Yeah, it's hard to look at a guy like Drew and think, yeah, that guy's an underdog. Like, right. That guy he's never punching up.
Even when Brock Lesnar's on the other side of the ring, it's like, yeah, everyone looks small, like, looks less than against Brock freaking Lesnar because of his aura, never mind the way he looks as a, you know, genetically engineered human being. But, you know, Drew does not look less than with Brock Lesnar. So, yeah, we don't need to be the conquering hero anymore.
Yeah, but I also think that that's going to cause Punk to have to step up his game, and I love that for him. You know, yeah. I love that Drew went out there and said, hey, I can go toe-to-toe with you on the stick. And, you know, that's awesome. I love seeing that.
And also the video Drew did earlier in the day, we went to Mindy's Bakery.
Oh, that was awesome.
He is. God, I hope. I hear different things. Like, there's some people still speculating that Drew McIntyre still does not have a firm contract in place and that his deal is getting ready to expire. The problem with that is I was told at Clash at the Castle that he only had a couple months left, and that was, what, a year and a half ago?
Yeah, I think the rumors that he resigned, because, yeah, I think that's kind of happened.
Yeah.
No way he's getting all this. He's getting a CM Punk match down the road.
Yeah, they're looking past WrestleMania already.
Yeah.
Don't earmark some. Maybe you give it to them on a whim, like, yeah, I guess that's what we need for tonight. But you don't earmark them for a CM Punk match if the guy hasn't signed his contract yet.
Right.
Yeah, there's too much. Again, there's too much being laid out there for him to have not re-signed. It's just
World title match at WrestleMania.
And if he hadn't re-signed, then they would give that match minimal attention, and he would probably go out there and they'd be giving it minimal attention.
Yeah, they wouldn't be giving it a 22-minute segment.
No.
Yeah, they.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So. They're giving him 22 minutes because they're paying him for 22 minutes.
Yeah. And again, getting back to like the realistic feel of it, like even Seth Rollins, to his part, we've been talking about Drew and talking about Punk and how excellent their work was. And, you know, Drew, you know, going toe to toe and keeping up with Punk. Seth, who didn't say nearly as much because he came out probably 2/3 of the way into the whole thing, or actually closer to the end of it, basically telling Punk, I don't think about you. You don't bother me. You are irrelevant. And he said so much without saying a whole lot. And I enjoyed it. You know, I thought it was really fun. And I think the three of them have got some really good chemistry going on right now.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful WrestleMania season.
Yeah, it really is. So let's get back briefly into the Cody Rhodes Rock thing, because, you know, a lot of people, there was a sense of a lot of people that, you know, we'll go ahead and say that the Attitude Era is back because of the trash talking that The Rock was doing during the beatdown. And he called the fans in Chicago pieces of shit, and they didn't bleep out shit the first time. And then he dropped an F-bomb towards the end of the whole beatdown, and then there was the blood. And a lot of – we've been very critical of AEW's excessive use of blood on their show. And those people who defend it came out of the woodwork on Tuesday night and said, oh, but this is okay. You know, and it's okay. Well, go ahead, Jason.
It just proves our larger point that we always get to when it comes to blood, when it comes to like extreme acts, when it comes to big spots, you got to make it mean something. And bleeding, you know, during your random match at 8:15 doesn't really mean anything. It just means, I guess, you guys are hardcore. Okay, cool. Once you do that three times, I don't care anymore. But this was like, holy whoa, like, because you don't do this, because we don't see it when it actually happens, and they throw it right in your face, they don't shy away from it at all, it's shocking. It's more shocking. That's all it is. It's shock value. I mean, that's it. It's shock value.
And I quote tweeted something that Bully Ray said, and he pretty much echoed those sentiments. And I basically, the way I equated it was when Captain America holds Thor's hammer at the end of Endgame. That was everything. The entire theater went crazy for that one moment in time. I promise you, half of that doesn't happen if he actually picked that hammer up in Age of Ultron. Like, it's the law of diminishing returns. The more you do it, the less impactful it is, and the less it means, and the less you get out of it. And that's the same thing with blood and wrestling. It's money when you don't do it as often. When you do it every other night or every night or every third match in the same night, it suddenly is like, okay, we've seen this. Oh, no, another guy bleeding. And it just doesn't have the same impact. And that's not to say that, you know, I understand, you know, Jon Moxley defended it in an interview one time, said, look, we're supposed to be simulating real fights and people bleed in real fights. Okay, I get that. But we also understand what we're watching. And as from a visual standpoint, when you see it all the time and you're trying to make it part of your story, you're throwing away what should be a major plot point. The point behind the blood is that your dashing hero is bleeding and he's losing blood and is by default losing energy. And how can he rally from this? How can he come back? And it's supposed to add to the element of distress. And
it's a default thing in comic book movies. At the end of the movie, like, you know, Batman gets a cut on his face so you can see it. Like, oh, we're battle damaged at this point, guys. We've been through a long battle and whatnot.
Well, again, going back to the Avengers analogy that I made, you take back to Captain America. After Thanos finally, you know, snaps on him and beats the ever-loving hell out of him and splits the shield in half, that moment means something because Captain America stands up. He uses the shield as a tourniquet on his broken arm. He's bloody. He's beaten all to hell. And that's your distress. And that's the same thing with blood in wrestling. It's supposed to be like, oh, my God, he's bleeding. How is he ever going to overcome this? You know, it's supposed to be special.
Same deal there, by the way. If the shield had been dented once, that moment is not as shocking as it is.
Right.
Right.
But the shield had been impervious to everything that we had thrown at it for 11 goddamn movies. And then all of a sudden, that dude cuts it in half like so much tinfoil.
Right. And, because remember, when we used to record on Wednesdays, you know, when it would be while Dynamite was on, we would do the Jon Moxley blood watch.
Yeah. Yep. It became a joke and a gag on this show for a bit.
Yeah, and then it almost never failed, right?
Right. Breaking news. We got through a Jon Moxley match. We have no blood. We have no blood.
Right, exactly. That used to be part of the show here. And, but it makes a difference. Yeah, like when you, like I said, when you don't do it all the time. And that's, it matters. Okay. It matters when, because it just punctuated there because you weren't expecting it. And, you know, and that's what it's supposed to punctuate what's going on. It's not supposed to just be like a thing that happens all the time. And yes, I understand what Mox was saying that, like, that if you're in a real fight and people are punching each other in the face, Yeah, people are going to be bleeding. Yes.
But the person that's bleeding in the bleeding from the face is also probably going to lose.
Right. And it's just,
there's not a lot of like comebacks where that guy suddenly puts the dude through the through a table, unless, you know, some illicit substance is running through that dude's veins.
Well, and piling onto that, how many fights have you either been in or seen, either live or on the internet, where the dude got one bamboo skewer shoved in his head, let alone 30?
Right.
Yeah. Not many.
But also, like, if you watch police shows, right? They don't, like, when the police actually shoot somebody, it's not every week, right? It's because, you know, they'll go most of the season and not actually shoot anybody, right?
Yep.
Or, you know, or they might just, you know.
They'll pull the guns out. Pull their guns out once an episode.
Yeah. But then.
Oh, they're going to do it? Oh, it's going to happen? No, it didn't happen.
Right. And then, you know, they always manage to talk the guy down if somebody tackles him or whatever.
And you know what that creates every single time?
Tension.
Yeah. And it's, and so then when it actually happens, when they finally get to that point and you hear bang, you're like, oh shit, they did it. Like he shot him. Like, damn.
Yeah.
Well, and you also know, okay, this episode is going to go a fundamentally different way now.
Yeah, and then, right? I mean, and so it's why you don't do that stuff every episode, right? And because again, it loses the value. And no, like remember Undertaker said that once, like, well, if you do a somersault this time, okay, well, next time you got to do a double somersault.
Yeah.
And after that, you got to do triple somersault, right? And then after a while, how many can you do, right?
If you kick out of one Canadian destroyer, well,
yeah,
gotta kick out of two Canadian destroyers.
We go back to Cesaro using the UFO at WrestleMania a couple of years ago.
Right.
Yep.
Guy spent 11 years in the WWE system, and they told him he should use it, and he said no. Why? Because Cesaro understood the assignment.
Yeah.
And that was an all-time moment.
It was.
So it's just, you know, doing this stuff, it matters, right? The less frequently you do it, the more that it matters. Because, like, for example, like now, one thing that's overdone now is like the spear through the barricade spot. The people do that too much now, right? It happened, like. Like everybody's doing it now, and when they have one of those like no DQ matches or what, not everybody, but it's been way overdone now.
Right, right.
And it's so now it's the point where it's like, okay, oh, spear through the barricade. Okay, haven't seen that before, right? So yeah, I mean, like you gotta, you know. So in this case, yeah, I mean, Cody bleeding, and it accentuated just how bad of a beating he took. Right, just, yeah. Like it went from being just a contrived wrestling segment to like, again, something that people are going to remember for a long time.
Very well done. I can't put it over any more than I already have. I really don't have much more to add to it.
Yeah, and honestly, the last thing I'll say is, folks, this is why you get Dwayne to come back.
Yep.
Because if Dwayne doesn't come back, we don't get this. If Dwayne doesn't come back, we're already in like the third or fourth iteration of Dusty was proud of me and more proud of me than he was of you. Well, I was the first person to beat you when you were tag team champions. You know, I mean, we'd been in the third or fourth iteration of that. Okay. If Dwayne.
No, thank you.
Okay. I mean, you know. Or I'm going to beat you and your whole family, you know, and we would have been, again, we'd have been in week 7 or 8 of that by now. And you might think it would have been fine. I don't think it would have been.
Not to the broader audience.
No, I think people would be checking out because, again, been there, done that, you know, and we'd be, like I said last week, we'd be doing watch-alongs here. Okay.
We're going to save that for the summer doldrums, because after we get through WrestleMania, we are going to have to come up with content, and content we are going to come up with. We got this episode and one more before WrestleMania, then we'll probably have the WrestleMania wrap up. But in what I'm going to go ahead and call it the week after WrestleMania will probably be like our season finale. And then after that, we'll start a new season, and I've been kicking some ideas around with the guys, and we're going to bring back a couple of old segments here on the show, but we're also going to kick around a couple of new episodes or a couple of new segments here on the show that I think you guys are going to like. That's just a little bit of a teaser. Not going to tell you anything more than that until we get closer to the date, but just some creative things that I was kicking around with the guys I think you guys are going to like. Let's get into the other thing that we wanted to talk about here tonight, which is this new concept that WWE threw out, what they're calling speed. And basically the concept is these on Twitter, they release these little 3-minute matches, and basically it just sounds like a get your shit in fest for 3 minutes. And we can talk about that, but then I want to kind of bookend that with, I guess they're implementing a title to this, like a championship. Which I don't know if we're getting a new belt reveal or what the kind of, like the rollout of this is. What, April? What was the date on that? April 3rd?
Yeah, I believe it was April 3rd.
I think it was April 3rd, which is a Wednesday. Right? Yeah, it's a Wednesday. Yeah, because that's my first day of like vacation. So yeah, so they're rolling that out, and I'm interested in the concept. I think one, this will get some exposure for some people who probably have been sitting on the sidelines and catering for a little while. It'll appease that crowd that likes that fast paced, you know, spot finish. You know, and there's definitely a market for that. I'm gonna start with Jason. What are your thoughts on just the concept as a whole?
It's the same. It's the thing they should do more of. Try something new. Like, and give it a shot. See what happens. I love the idea, you know, because I love the kind of sprint matches as well. And it's a different kind of environment for if you do. I don't know how they're even going to do it. If it's going to be like NXT guys, or if it's going to be mid-carders. I don't know if Roman Reigns is going to be on this thing. I have no idea. I can guess, but. So it would be interesting to see some people, both, you know, newer people, okay, wrestle this style, and then also just, you know, anyone who works a slower style, hey, now you have to, you know, play within the confines of this sport. So I think it's going to be fun.
All right. Rob, you got any thoughts on it?
It's going to be interesting to see, like, who they put in it, and... Just how they're gonna, again, you're gonna have to just go and then try to win. And like, I think it'll be a challenge for a lot of the wrestlers too, because putting together a good coherent match with a beginning, middle, and end, and then it has a narrative to it or whatever is a challenge. So that's gonna be interesting. So, look, there are going to be some people who put it together really well and have a really good 3-minute match. And some of them are probably going to be shit. Okay. But it's going to be fun to see them try something different. And, so this is going to be like on Twitter. So it's going to be, I'm assuming that, you know, Elon is giving them some money for this, like similar to like when they did the mixed match challenge, it was on Facebook. And
yeah.
Basically, Facebook gave them some money to do it, and
that was such a good idea too. That they only did once.
Well, they did twice. They did twice.
Did they do? Okay, that's you're right. You're right. I'm sorry.
But then, I guess Facebook decided, you know, that's enough of that. Or I guess, well, because you know, basically, well, just I mean, well, I mean, these companies they throw money out, you know, to see get anything to see what sticks, and they try anything and everything, and then. You know, a lot of times they do something for a little while and they move on or whatever. But it was fun. It was a fun thing there. And this has the potential to be a fun thing also. And, you know, if they can ultimately, you know, get some storylines out of it, you know, that's the biggest thing. It's like, are you just going to have matches or are they going to find some way to tie it into like the, you know, the larger continuity. I hope they do.
Yeah. One thing I like about this thing,
if this thing's on an island, it's going to die.
Yeah. And that's something that they cleverly did with the Mixed Match Challenge. While it did exist in an island on its own, there were things that they let the talent do that kind of bled over into main continuity. Like one of the things that I did, and I hope that they do in letting the talent kind of blossom here a little bit. One of the most fun things I thought we got out of the Mixed Match Challenge or whatever the hell they were calling it, was the Road Warriors with Charlotte Flair and Bobby Roode?
Yeah.
Teamed up and they were the Road Warriors, which I popped for. I thought that was hilarious. But then we got an entire story arc out of Braun Strowman and Alexa Bliss being partners. That became part of main TV continuity. And I thought that was pretty awesome. And I hope, like, to Rob's point, that we get some of that here. I hope that something clicks, something sticks, that somewhere, somehow, talent-wise, somebody does something that people latch onto and that they bring it on TV. I hope this becomes a springboard for bigger things. I mean, we talked last week about Bronson Reed, you know, being a little disappointed that he didn't get to wrestle in Perth and now he's not on the WrestleMania card. This might be a perfect opportunity for a guy like him to get out there and show what he's got for 3 minutes. I mean, you can have a big meaty men slapping meat match for 3 minutes. I'd watch it. A lot of times, those super heavyweight matches don't have to go super long anyway.
Right.
So this would be a great place for him to get in there and mix it up and show the world what he's got. And I think he's creative enough that he could give people something to latch onto there.
Again, I'm using the golden example, but like a Brock Lesnar sprint match is my favorite type of Brock Lesnar match. Like a sprint between two big dudes is so much fun.
It is.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And, cause the match he and Goldberg had it, was it 33? Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that was like 4.5 minutes. And
it was awesome.
Yes. Or like in boxing, Hagler and Hearns. That fight was like 3 rounds. And
yeah.
It was 3 rounds, all gas, no breaks. They just went out there and they just threw everything at each other. And then one of them dropped.
Yeah. And that's the type of stuff you can do with this.
Yeah. And so and now, you know, it's going to be interesting. I'm definitely interested in, you know, again, it comes on like what he put in it and what to do with it. But again, it's cool to just, again, try different things. You know, and see if something comes out of this. And if it doesn't, then, you know, try something else later, right? I mean, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you're throwing it out there on Twitter. If it ends up being nothing that anybody latches onto, no harm, no foul, some talent got some reps. And you try. I don't fault anybody for trying something new, even if it doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know, especially when it comes to wrestling, because it's so open. The field is so open. And, you know, we talked a bit in the kickoff show about there's a glut of talent in WWE just sitting around doing nothing. And this gives potentially people something to do who are probably really, really good that are sitting back in catering doing nothing. And you know, I'm happy for them for that. One thing that I don't want to go too long down this road, guys, but one thing that I do want to bring up is Piper Niven put this over on Twitter today, and she's like, oh, this looks like fun. And then she kind of made, because she's kind of cheeky, if you follow her, you know she's a bit cheeky, and she made a tongue-in-cheek joke about how, oh, the girls aren't invited. And it was tongue-in-cheek, but kind of wasn't. You know, she's trying to be cute so she doesn't get...
Be real. She hit him with the double whammy. She was like, oh, 3 minute matches. This will be perfect for us. You know, that's a little bit of a, hey,
that's a dig in and of itself.
Yeah.
Oh, we aren't even invited to this one.
We can't even come to the 3 minute party is basically what she was saying. And that is one area where I definitely agree. They've kind of dropped the ball and maybe they won't. Maybe we will get some women in on this. But I think, again, as we talk about the glut of talent, there's a lot of women sitting around on Raw and SmackDown not doing anything. And this, again, is a perfect opportunity for those girls to go out and one for somebody like Xia Li to get some reps, you know, and then some of these women that need more time. And, again, gives people something to do.
Yeah, and I guess now I'm just thinking of, because people are going to ask, well, what would you do with it then? I think the problem, well, okay, having a singular championship kind of paints you into a corner. Just something I thought of that I think where you could incorporate, you could, you know, just make it co-ed, so to speak. If you just have like however long they're going to do this, let's say they do it for 6 months, you know, every month you just have like, you know, well, this person had the best match or this person had the quickest match or whatever. And it could be male or female. And you give them like a goofy trophy or belt or something that they can work around for the next, you know.
You are overthinking it. You know what you do? What was it? A press release and a tweet today about, hey, next week it's actually coming out WWE Speed. Like that. Right?
That was pretty much just it.
Yeah.
Okay, so you know what? Next week you show up with the WWE Women's Speed Championship and the WWE Men's Speed Championship, and you say, these are our championships, and you just keep it going. Obviously, it sounds like from what Piper's saying, or from, you know, she's backstage, I don't think she would just fire that off the cuff. It sounds like, as of right now, the women are not involved at all in WWE Speed, which, yeah, is a pretty big misstep. You just do it. It's not hard at this point, especially when you're just trying things. It's kind of, I don't know, just throw it out there and do one match and do, my goodness.
If there is going to be a championship out of this, are they doing a tournament? Like, how are we determining this champion?
Well, and I don't even want to talk about like WWE Speed. We didn't even know what it's going to be. It's 3-minute matches. Is this allowed? Is that allowed? Is it going to be a tournament? Is it going to be a round robin? We don't know. But just talking about it from the point of view that the women aren't invited to this sprint wrestling show, that's what we'll say. It sucks. It's just like, this is so easy. It's so easy to do better and you continuously don't. So I understand maybe, I don't know, in terms of what's a draw, what's not, I don't know. This is a situation where I say it's inexcusable to just throw something against the wall.
And not include the women.
Right.
Yeah.
Rob can go into the data and whatnot that, like, we're at our peak for women's wrestling and We're at our cap. Rob, what would you say the good way to
put
how everything is laid out?
I would say, in terms of what they put on TV, the general audience is pretty much satisfied with the amount that is put on there right now.
Right. Unless it's a handful of people, Bianca, et cetera, et cetera. Top tier.
Right. And it's, I'm put it this way. Okay. But I think we all agree Triple H is a fan of women's wrestling. He likes, you know, he wants to do women's wrestling and he obviously signed all these women wrestlers. But I think when they get in production meetings, there's an easy just status quo to fall into. And it's because, again, the general audience is satisfied with the amount. That doesn't mean that, you know, that doesn't mean that they're like, that they would protest if they had more.
Right. And that's my point. Right. I feel like you can push this envelope a little. So I was putting it to you guys, like, it sounds like the horse has drank. We've led the horse to water. The horse is drinking pretty much as it's going to drink at this point. But I think it would be foolhardy to turn the tap off. At this point, you could do one more women's match. At this point, if you do a WWE Speed or a WWE like Main Event 2, or you do a WWE CrossFit or whatever, yes, have a women's division. Like just. It's so easy for you to do the bare minimum now and just not. And I know that's even just awful to say, like do the bare minimum, but apparently we have to get there first. So it sucks.
Well, it's put it this way, just in generally speaking, when we're talking about diversity and giving people opportunities who haven't previously gotten as many or what have you. Okay. And I know I'm getting a little off track here, but look, I've been on diversity boards and one of the biggest problems is that people are just kind of status quo bias. People are just kind of habitual with just, hey, things are okay the way they are. It's not bad. Nobody's really angry about anything. And meanwhile, there are still people being underserved. And to really, it always takes, like, somebody has to be willing to get up in the middle of the room and say, hey, what about those people? They need to get more stuff. Okay. And whatever more stuff is, more stuff could be jobs. It could be bank loans. It could be time on the wrestling program. Okay. But somebody has to stand up and say, hey, those people over there aren't getting enough stuff. And I don't think, and I think right now that's not happening right now, my guess. Oh, look, we're not in the production meetings, obviously. Right. But I think, you know,
I understand you don't want to do more because doing more isn't going to just print you money hand over fist. I have to think doing more isn't going to hurt you that much in the long term, at the very least.
Now, when you're already making money hand over fist, I don't think costing yourself a little bit out of the kitty is going to hurt you.
Exactly.
Correct. Yeah, and so.
That's something that you've already been a purported proponent of. You know, you had the women's main event. You had the all women's show. You had these truly, they were groundbreaking things both for wrestling and for you. Excuse me. But like, so you can keep going if you want.
Unfortunately, you do have to be strategic about this stuff. You do have to place things properly. You do have, and look, some of this stuff, honestly, you do have to sneak some of this stuff in. All right. You do.
Yeah.
Just like, okay. Just like you can't say, you know, next Monday is ladies night. You can't do that. And you should be able to, but you can't.
Right.
All right.
God, if they did an all ladies Raw or SmackDown, I would love that.
Yeah. Cause look, well, a couple of years ago, and this was actually a perfect experiment because 1 week on NXT, they didn't say anything, but damn near the entire show was women's stuff and the rating on everything was just fine. But then a few weeks later, they actually announced it and the rating was off a little bit. But that's the reality. Okay. I mean, because when you announce, hey, we're going to give these people over there more stuff, there's always somebody that's like, no,
right. I'm not here for that.
Right. But
when you just give those people more stuff right under those idiots' noses and you don't even say anything about it, that's kind of how you got to the women's main event of WrestleMania. If you think about your little women's revolution. So, you know, just keep doing it.
And in this case, I know, and the reason I suggested making like a goofy trophy or whatever it was, or a belt or something, I was thinking that by making it a co-ed thing, you can have the women interact with the men and you can do, and because I don't know how much time actually they have allotted to do this stuff on Twitter, whether they have 10 minutes in total or just one time for a 1 3-minute match or what. I don't know.
Yeah, we won't know anything until they roll it out next week.
Yeah, but to me, this is exactly the kind of thing where you could have some type of interaction between the two rosters, and because, hey, the women can race to have a faster match than the men, even though they're not going to wrestle each other. You can still compete that way, right?
Right.
So I was just thinking that would be a way to do that. You could get some interaction there. Because, another thing with pro wrestling historically, one of the most proven effective ways to get women over is to involve them with the men, for better or worse. Okay. Elizabeth with Randy Savage, Sherry with Randy Savage, China with DX, right? Rhea Ripley being involved with Judgment Day has made a difference than if she was just out there by herself. Okay. It made a difference in her interacting with dudes,
being the dude's boss.
Yeah, I mean, just the general that she's doing all of this stuff with the guys has played a huge role in, her skyrocketing the way that she did, because it's just people, for a lot of different reasons. And it's just, it's been a proven thing that it, and so I was just thinking by by setting things up so that you could have the women interacting with the men doing this thing, I think it would help a lot. They have time to, we don't know how long this thing is going to run for, like whether it's a month or 6 months or whatever. They probably got paid for a certain amount of weeks. And then, then after that's over, we'll see how it went. It's probably that kind of deal. It's not like a per week kind of thing, and it's not, and they don't have some 4-year contract or something either.
Yeah.
So it's probably for 6 months or
something. I would say there's probably a significant block of time that there's allotted here, because if they're talking about implementing a championship, obviously they're looking at this being a thing for at least a few months, if not several months.
Yeah.
So. It'll be interesting to see how it shakes out. I'm always down for more good wrestling. And if there's good wrestling to be had here and I can see some people that maybe I don't normally see, I'll give it a shot. And, it'll be neat for me because I don't get to watch a whole lot of real time wrestling. Like I watch Raw and SmackDown usually on Hulu 24 to 48, sometimes 72 hours later, depending on my time, because I don't have cable. I haven't watched a live wrestling show in forever. So if I can get these things at least fairly well in real time, it'd be interesting to pick this up in a couple of weeks and talk about what we think, see if our opinions on it have changed between now and, once they've got a couple of weeks under them.
We shall see.
Yes.
All right. Well, gentlemen, have we got anything else tonight, or can we call it there?
Congratulations to Mustafa Ali on the cover of Pro Wrestling Illustrated.
Oh yeah, that's right. He's the cover guy for PWI.
Yes.
X Division champion.
Yeah.
X Division champion Mustafa Ali.
Yes. And the last time the X Division champion was on the cover of PWI, it was Samoa Joe.
Wow. So that's been a minute.
Yeah.
Congratulations to that guy. I'm glad to see him thriving outside the WWE system. But he's thriving in TNA. Ziggler obviously was going to thrive no matter where he went. Artist formerly known as Top Dollar just signed on for the rest of the year over in TNA. I like to see that for him. So yeah, it's good to see that there's, people still making a living outside of WWE. Congratulations to all those guys.
Yeah. And then they're all doing well. Good for all of those guys. And you know what? Maybe we'll see them back one day. But if not, they're doing really well for themselves now.
Yeah.
I would love to see people, since I mainly watch WWE programming, of course we would rather see people do well there, but if not, then it's just good to see people do well, period,
Yep. All right. Well, gentlemen, I think we've had another good show. I think we can call it there.
Agreed.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, I'll wrap back around the room here and thank my co-host, starting with Jason Sir. Good show tonight, man.
Good stuff. We're hurtling at light speed towards something awful at WrestleMania. I can feel it in my jellies.
Yeah. Well, next episode is going to be all WrestleMania talk. We're going to give our predictions, give our final thoughts before we head into the extravaganza that is the two-night WrestleMania weekend. We're also going to try to shoehorn in the NXT show, but there's so much to talk about next week that we'll try and get in what we can, because we got to be fair here. NXT's got a hell of a show lined up, too.
Yes, yeah. Sir.
Danny and from the
looks to be an all-timer.
Yep. No, absolutely. I agree with you. And from the Rob the Genius podcast, Mr. Rob, sir, as always, thank you.
Yeah, always a pleasure.
And again, I'm DJ. You've been listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Remember, you can call it pro wrestling. You can call it sports entertainment. You can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring. And we're out of here until next week.